Mark chapter 8. If you remember last week in Mark chapter 7, we talked about this changing from the inside out. And what does it look like for us to change from the inside out? Jesus said it's not what goes into your mouth that you eat and that defiles you, but it's what comes out of your mouth. It's the things you say. It's the life that you live. It's what the condition of your heart is. And so that's last week we talked about that. And this week I'm jumping forward several verses into Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 31, bypassing some of his healings and miracles that we've talked about and discussed earlier. And not that those aren't important, but just wanted to get to this passage and talk about how it kind of ties in a little bit today with our membership Sunday, but just this whole idea of commitment. What is your commitment level? How committed are you to your favorite brand? Are you a Levi's only kind of guy? I am. I'm a Levi's only. I have some other jeans, but they're the ones I use to paint or clean the car or work outside. My Levi's, those are the ones I wear to special events like Texas Roadhouse or, you know, those important places that I go. I love Levi's. I have since I was a kid. I think it's because I grew up wearing plain pocket JCPenney jeans. Did anybody grow up with plain pocket jeans? All right, Trevor, are you with me? You're not even that old, buddy. Your mom and dad bought the same stuff my mom bought, right? They're half the price. That's why. I'm a Levi guy. I love certain clothes. I like Van Heusen shirts. I like the way they wear. This is a Calvin Klein, not that it matters. By the way, I don't pay full price. I go to Marshall's and Ross. I'm cheap. So I only get those name brands if they're on sale at those places. I don't. But Van Heusen, Hagar, not Sammy, but you know what I'm talking about, right? I like those clothes. That's my brand. How about your grocery stores? Are you loyal to your grocery stores? How many Kroger fans in here? Okay, Kroger's where you go. Giant Eagle? Sorry, Giant Eagle, we get nobody, right? Giant Eagle, First Baptist Church refuses to go to Giant Eagle. Just kidding. Meijer's, when it was here, was our store. Matter of fact, they almost knew us on a first name basis. We would be there so often. I remember one day, I think we went there like 3 or 4 times in one day, and finally a lady looks at us and is like, hi, you're back. Well, you just want to stay for a while or something? Meijer's was our store, and even when they shut down and moved, or didn't move, they shut down, we went to Morris Road and Bryce Road and other places looking for Meijer's because it was our store. We gave that up after a while because that was long and whatever. And so I'm loyal to different stores. How are you loyal to other brands? How about cars? What cars are we loyal to? Ford fans? Found on road dead. Good for you. I know, first on race day. Okay. Chevy guys, Dodge, have you checked out the new Hellcat? It's been around for a while, but I don't like Dodge, and I would buy that, right? Certain cars. I'm a Honda fan. I like the fact that Hondas run. I put 275,000 miles on one and wrecked it and got a bunch of money wrecked with 11 years old, and I'm like, dude. So I've been a huge Honda fan, was a Ford person before that. So we're loyal to certain brands. What are some other things that we're loyal to? What are some other brands we're loyal to? Any Nissan? Lexus? Acura? Acura and Honda are the same. Lexus and Toyota are the same. Yeah, there's a Toyota. Got a Toyota back here, all right? We're loyal to certain brands, right? But what is your commitment level? I'll be honest, my commitment level to Ford was until I got tired of working on them. And then I bought a Honda and didn't have to work on them. I said, okay, I'll do that. Stacy says, I don't care. I take it to the shop and they work on it. So that's fine. Our loyalty usually is based on the influence that they have on us, whether it's a good or bad experience. What's it take for you to walk away from a brand? Maybe things they support, maybe things that they represent, maybe the quality has gone down, maybe the cost has gone up. Our level of commitment changes and varies. And yet today as we look at the scripture, we see this idea of Jesus says, you've got to be committed if you're going to follow me. This is not something that you can just fake. It's not something you just walk away from. It's a level of commitment like none other. How committed are we to our jobs? our community, our country. When it comes to family, how committed are we? There's different levels of commitment. Family usually is high, really, really high. Friendship is about medium level of commitment. You know, you have some that are high and some that are low. It just kind of depends, right? And coworkers, that's probably on a lower scale. Unless your coworker works up into a friend, you know, and then sometimes you love your coworker so much they become family and a level of commitment goes up. But our level of commitments, we have different levels that we're committed to and things that we want to be involved in. How committed are we in marriage? That one's scary, right? There's a trend 50, 60 years ago where we started to say, where we started to abandon this Christian example of commitment, of dating, engagement, and then marriage. We started saying we should test the waters first. Let's leave our options open. Hey, I love this one. The guy says, I might find a better one. Right? You women say it too. Don't come on now. Right? We're going to leave our options open. We might find a better one. Think about how God looks at that. How horrible is it to be the creator of the universe, to create us in his image, and then have us look at one another as something we could just throw away whenever we get dissatisfied? How it must break his heart. And for whatever reason, as that trend started to roll through our society, it became okay in the eyes of society to have lowering levels of commitment. Let's just test the waters. Let's feel it out. We'll see how it is before we actually make a commitment. And the problem with that is what comes with that is the heartache and the pain and the hurt and the suffering that comes from that. Whereas if we do it God's way, the blessing there is amazing. Today, Jesus reveals God's plan for redemption of mankind. He describes the cost of salvation and how he's going to be the one to pay it. Jesus says that he will be rejected by Jewish leaders, that they will then kill him. And after killing him, he will be dead for 3 days and then rise from the grave. And Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to pay your price for humanity. And they're sitting there looking at him kind of cross-eyed, like, wait a minute, we've just seen all these incredible things that you have done, all the miracles you have done. Being with you, Jesus, has been absolutely amazing. What do you mean you're going to suffer and be rejected by the Jewish leaders and you're going to die? Peter starts to rebuke him. Jesus is like, dude, get behind me. You know, what is wrong with you? Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 31, is the story. Let's look, shall we? Scripture says, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at him, at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Ouch. That verse will preach. You ever wonder if there's times in your life where your desires don't line up with God's desires? And if he were here today, he would tell you, back up, get behind me, stop it. You don't understand my plans. My plans are greater than your plans. Get in line, follow me, figure out what I'm doing, quit worrying about what you want. Goes on in verse 34, it says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with holy angels. Let us pray. Father, as we continue to look into your word today, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will clear our minds and clear our hearts of all the things that are just there, Father. Lord, help us just to focus on you. As we sang in the music this morning, may we just see your glory. May we just see you face to face. Seek your presence, Father. And Lord, as we look into your word, may your Holy Spirit just continue to speak to us in an amazing way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first thing I see when I look at this passage is that God's plans are larger than our limited human plans. God's plans are larger than our limited human plans. You ever think you're pretty smart? Well, yeah, Pastor Jim, it's dumb to be dumb, right? None of us sit there and say, man, my plans are dumb. No, we always think our plans are smart. We always think I've got the right plan. We always have opinions. We think we know the best way to do it. But God's plans are larger than our limited human plans. It's much bigger. His agenda, his will, his thing is global, eternal. And yet ours is usually pretty microscopic. It pretty much has to do with who we are and the few people that are around us. We're pretty limited in our human ideas and plans. I'm not saying that God doesn't give us some great plans, because sometimes he does. Sometimes we have ingenious plans. I got to tell you, the technology that took for the last 100 or 200 years to get to the point where we have computers on cell phones that are this little, that can hide in my pocket, that can do all kinds of computations, that can call people, that can do Facebook, that can take pictures, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And yes, man has taken God's raw materials and somehow got them to this point. I struggle with just the idea of how electricity flows from positive and negative. You flip the light switch and on comes the light. I just struggle with that, let alone that happening 20, 30 million times faster in your cell phone. It's just amazing to me. So yes, we have some good ideas and some good technology. We have some things that are helpful. We have some things that are okay. But when it comes to the big picture, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. You ever wonder how confused the disciples must have been when they're talking to Jesus? They've been on this roller coaster of a ride, watching him do miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, he walked on water, he raised Jairus' daughter, he did all kinds of amazing things. He cast out demons, people just touched the hem of his garment and they're healed. It's incredible what they have seen and what they have experienced. Peter even says, Jesus, I know that you are the Messiah. Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? You're the Son of the living God. You're the one we've been waiting on, Jesus. You're the I am. You're the Messiah. Incredible. So the ride they've been on has just been blowing their mind. There's no way that they could even comprehend what they've just been going through for the last several months and several years. And now they're at this point where Jesus says, guys, I want to tell you the rest of the game plan. I've kind of left it limited. I said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And I've taught you how to fish. I sent you out two by two, and I've taught you how to share the good news, share the gospel. But guys, now I want to let you know the rest of the plan, the rest of the story. And their minds had to be blown by the fact that what they thought was going to be a king who would rise up and overcome the Roman government, who would bring pride back to the nation of the Jewish people. I was going to say the Judah, people of Judah. He was going to restore that. That's what they thought their Messiah was going to do. And they were waiting for that moment. And Jesus says, oh, by the way, guys, it's going to change. Where you think we're headed, it's going to change. The reality is I came for a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. And so, guys, what's going to happen is I'm going to pay for your salvation. The redemption of mankind is going to come through me. I'm going to be rejected by the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. Instead of accepting me as the Messiah, as the Christ, they're going to reject me, kill me. And on the third day, I'll rise from the grave. Can you imagine their thoughts? Time out, Jesus. That's not what I signed up for. I didn't leave my fishing business to follow you and watch you die. I didn't leave my family to follow you and see this happen. Jesus, have you ever told God how he should run things? Peter's starting to rebuke him and make, Jesus, this is not how it's going to work. This is not how the plan should be. You ever do that with God? Try to bargain with him? Just say, God, this is really how it should happen. When I was younger, is Chardell in the room? If she is, close your ears. All right, when I was younger, I was, Amy Grant came on the scene when I was about 16, 17 years old. And I was like, oh, she's pretty and she can sing. She was like, oh. And I used to watch Amy Grant as a young teenager think, dude, I'd like to date her. Now, that wasn't God's plan. Now, there's a million young teenage boys throughout the entire world that looked at Amy Grant and say, oh, I'd like to date her, right? My plans were not God's plans. And instead, you can open your ears now, Chardell. Instead, he put me with my best friend, the greatest woman that I could ever be paired with. And I love her, adore her. How many hours till vacation? 2 hours till vacation. She's been giving me the countdown all week long. For the last month, she went 17 days, 14 days, 24 hours and 30 minutes. She's been telling me, right? 2 hours, so she's excited, right? My plans, not the same as God's plans. I try and look for things that, you know, this is what I think God wants. And, you know, usually if I'll do it God's way, it's much larger, much bigger, much better than anything I could have ever imagined or dreamed of. If you would have asked me at age 16 what it would look like to be with Chardell 36 years later and have all the things that happen with our children and grandchildren and ministry and everything that's happened, I would have looked at you and said, right, that's not going to happen. His plans are larger and bigger than anything that I've ever imagined. And he looks at his disciples and says, guys, I'm going to have to suffer and die for you, but on the third day I'm going to rise. I want to let you know the plans have changed. It's not going to go the way you thought it was going to be. It's not going to look the way you thought it was going to look. But if you just stay with me, if you just follow me, it's going to be okay. Second thing I see when I look at this passage, that following Jesus requires the highest commitment of our lives. Following Jesus requires the highest commitment of our lives. After he rebukes Peter, he then calls, it says he calls the crowd together. Guys, huddle up. Come in close. Guys, I want to tell you something, right? He calls them together. Following Jesus requires the highest commitment of our lives. And he calls the crowd together. He tells them that you must be willing to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Now, every one of us know that the longer we follow Christ, the easier that becomes. But in the beginning, and sometimes maybe not so easy, right? The losing of your spouse after 50 years, 40 years, not so easy. Losing of your job after 30 years, not so easy. But there's something about following him and denying yourself and picking up your cross and following him that kind of changes, gets maybe easier as you go on. Because it's so hard when you're younger to deny yourself, to say to yourself, I don't want this. Actually, I'm going to change that. I can't qualify as being younger. I don't like to deny myself now, right? I don't like to deny, like the cars I pick to drive now are nicer than the cars I picked when I was 16. And the clothes that I wear are nicer than what I used to pick. And so I don't necessarily like to deny myself now. But he says, if you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. That's what it takes to be my disciple. If you truly want to be a follower of me, you've got to say no to self and yes to me. And that is such a hard concept to grasp sometimes. Sometimes we just actually ignore it. We just like bury our head in the sand and say, I can't hear you, God. I can't hear you, God. I can't hear you, God. Can't tell me what to do. You ever heard that one? Why would we tell God, you can't tell me what to do? God, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me who to date. You can't tell me. You have free will. You're right. He won't tell you. He gives you free will. But why would we do that? Instead, why would we not say, you know what? I'm not sure why, but I'm going to trust him. So I'm going to deny this part and I'm going to follow him. And then he says, pick up your cross. And our cross is different for everybody. For some of us, you will have to bear things that I will never have to bear. And there are things that I go through that you will never have to go through. The cross that you bear for the gospel, for the ministry, for the love of God is different in each and every one of your lives. And yet it's also very, very similar. Because we all have to say to self, you know what? God's more important. His plans are more important. His will is more important. So what's that look like in your life? What's it look like for you to deny yourself and follow him? For the disciples, it meant some form of imprisonment, torture, and eventually a gruesome death. As best I can tell from the scriptures, that John is the only one who didn't die a gruesome death. If you call being on an island in Patmos in a cold, damp prison and staying there till you die, if you call that not gruesome death, he had an easy death compared to the others, if that's what you call that. Doesn't sound too easy to me. What's it look like to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him? Verse 35, whoever tries to save their physical life will lose their eternal life. But whoever gives up control of their life will save it for eternity, for the gospel of Jesus. What's it look like to give up your physical things so that you can enjoy the eternal things? What's the practical way of that in your life? It may be as simple as saying, I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to pull over the car. I'm going to get away and just walk with him and spend some time with him. It can be as simple as calling up a friend and getting coffee together and sharing this good news. You know, how's it going in your life? Oh, man, I'm really sorry to hear that. You know, God can help you in that area, you know. And whatever it looks like. I'm not talking about taking a 30-pound King James and smacking them upside the head. That never seems to work, right? But just lovingly start to invest in their life and see what God does with it. What's it look like to deny yourself and follow him? Third and last thing, being truly committed to Jesus means having eternal values. Being truly committed to Jesus means having eternal values. Verse 36, what is good for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Being committed to Jesus means having eternal values. It means putting more into the things that will last forever than the things that are going to perish. Our cars are going to pass away. Stores are going to pass away. Certain clothes and brands are going to pass away. Unfortunately, relationships will eventually pass away. But the things we've done for Christ will last for eternity. And that's what really matters. So can we change our lives from being committed to self and being committed to God? Let's change our values from being committed to the things that we find important and trying to figure out what it is that God finds important. What does God value? And whatever he values, that's what I want to value. And what does that look like? What would that be like in your life if that became your prayer and your heart's cry and your heart's desire? God has a plan for each and every one of us. And he has this plan for our church, this body of Christ. Been here since 1832 in the city of Newark. And our calling from God is to be a light shining in the darkness, to be his hands and to be his feet, to share the love, to share the good news, to be committed to following him. And if we will continue to follow that plan as a church, as a body of Christ, God will continue to bless and honor that and do things far above and beyond anything we ever dreamed and imagined. Do you remember when Jesus said to his disciples that you're going to do greater things than I have done when I am gone? Is that mind-boggling to you? How could we possibly do greater things than Jesus? That's impossible. I can't walk on water, and I can't raise the dead, and I can't heal the blind and the lame. I can't. I don't have that ability. And yet he says, you're going to do greater things than I have done. And I think I simply think he means that we're going to impact more people than he was able to impact at that moment in time in history. The 5,000 he reached and the 4,000 he reached and the others that he reached are just a small portion of what we've been given the ability to do and to reach. How awesome is that? But it can only happen if we deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow him. Songwriters, as they are here, as we get ready to close in a word of prayer, what's your commitment level? What is your commitment level? Are you more loyal to your local brand of jeans and clothing than you are to God? If so, I'm going to tell you that's a problem. It's a problem. What's your commitment level? What's it look like? Today, God wants to work that in your heart and life in a special way. Let's pray. If you're here today and maybe your commitment level has been up and down over the past several months or several years, and you just want a clean break with God. You just want to confess your sin and just say, God, I'm begging for your mercy and your grace. And I'm asking you to forgive me of the sins that I've been so easily stumbled up with. And I just want to follow you. I just want to be committed to you today and here forward. If that's your heart's cry, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor Jim, pray for me. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Anyone else? For the rest of us, as God continues to work in our lives, maybe there's just some areas that he's wanting to just move in a special way, that maybe you've put up a roadblock. Maybe you've kept him from having freedom to move in your heart and life the way he should. If that's your heart's cry, just say, Pastor Jim, pray for me as I remove that roadblock and allow God to have full access in my life. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus and what he's done in our hearts and lives. Father, we thank you that he was willing to come to suffer and to die and to rise on the third day, that we may have life eternal. And Father, we pray for the strength to daily deny ourselves and follow you, to daily think upon you, to daily love you, to daily honor you, and to watch and see how you bless us and work on our lives. Father, I believe that if we put you first in our lives, that God, you'll do amazing things, things beyond anything we ever dreamed or imagined. Father, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.